Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. This week, we sit down with Joe Carlin, the Director of Digital Engineering for GLI, on how the company has been handling the certification of sports betting and iGaming technology. 20 years ago, IGT transformed the industry by introducing cashless gaming with Tito. Now IGT is revolutionizing cashless gaming yet again. Learn more about IGT's resort wallet at igt.com/cashless. Gaming Laboratories International, or GLI, is the industry titan when it comes to testing technology to ensure it does what it's supposed to do. Joe Carlin has been at the forefront of GLI's efforts to test iGaming and sports betting technology that can be even more complicated than the technology in slot machines and the systems that control them. Carlin explains how GLI has helped sports betting and iGaming companies in their compliance efforts for regulators and how the systems are constantly evolving under the guidance of GLI. He spoke with me and editor Frank Legato from his home in early February. But I don't really
like my flow. Explain how you progressed through the company and how your responsibilities eventually grew.
Yeah, absolutely. And first, appreciate the invite and the offer to be here and to speak with you both today. So started at GLI, straight out of the University of Colorado, go Buffaloes, and came in as an entry-level test engineer, working with, you know, traditional land-based slot machine products. And then I moved shortly thereafter into a new division that was growing within our company, centered around new protocols that were coming out. So I was our representative for a number of years on GSA committees as they were developing protocols for network-based solutions, moving beyond SaaS protocols, server-based solutions. Worked on a rollout of new video lottery terminal systems across Canada that replaced the existing systems that have been in place for 10 plus years. And finished that project, took my wife to Jamaica because I hadn't seen her much in that whole year, and came back and they said, how about iGaming? And we started with a small group here in North America, centered around Europe and Canadian clients, you know specifically, and then grew, over the years to, now 7 teams and 60 individuals, testing, for a myriad of products and all over the world. So it's been great. A lot of support within GLI through that process. I can't, mention that enough with, everybody who's taken the time through the years to help me develop and grow and learn as I've moved through these different areas.
What were some of the challenges of figuring out what at that point was a brand new discipline in testing iGaming?
Yeah, it was going from the exact sort of path I took from a land-based mindset into more of an interactive and digital. There's different regulatory needs in that area. And so you start with, what are your guiding principles? And for regulators to regulate well, there needs to be oversight and transparency. So how do we fulfill those two obligations in the testing and certification process and supporting our clients and allow them to launch and bring product to market and innovate and grow, but also, effectively give these tools to regulators. So it was developing each one of the processes that we have in place today around change management, around how products deployed, new ways of doing things like controlling source code and going through build processes, to bringing in devices like phones and tablets into our test tools, and then adding automation and different levels of sophistication as we've gone through this. So it was really starting at that basic level and then growing from there. But as soon as you get those principles in place and the foundation set, then all the mechanical pieces really just fill in nicely. Mm-hmm.
Were those pieces in place by 2012 when the reinterpretation of the Wire Act came from the DOJ?
That was right around the time when I took over our North American digital team. And we were a small team, just 8 or so of us. but a lot of it had to be learned and through the process. And as we grew with Nevada, New Jersey and Delaware, and even worked on some of the interstate liquidity projects with those groups, taking, what would have been hammered out in Europe and in Canada that existed prior, and bringing that to the U.S. markets and seeing how that would change, how U.S. markets would, accept some of the principles or move in a different way. And so we had a foundation, but there was a lot of learning through those early stages.
I guess it was advantageous that there were only three states active for the first few years.
Yeah, a lot of work with those states to, again, try to understand how to control this type of software, this type of operating environment that's different. You can't just go and put a piece of tape around a machine and pull it down and let the rest of the floor run. If there's a fault or an issue with an iGaming system, it can affect the entire product and offering to all customers. So, how do we deal with all of those different issues that come up over time? Those were hammered out, and a lot of precedence was set in those early days with the regulators in Nevada and Delaware and New Jersey, and then have propagated out post-PASPA.
Great.
But the experience in Europe was of GLI was beneficial to that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Concepts like the change management guide that we released to the industry just last year around this time were really born out of those European principles to help, again, modernize the approach to compliance and allow people in this space to have a product that really operates more like an e-commerce platform than a traditional land-based casino.
Okay, 2018 was the other watershed year when sports betting came into the picture. I'll let Roger handle some questions here on sports betting.
Sure.
Joe, when you're testing iGaming, that's very similar to testing slot machines. The decisions are being made internally, random number generators and all that kind of thing really determine the decisions. But sports betting is obviously determined outside. Not only that, but, when you set the odds, you get you have to have massive amounts of data to set the odds, particularly when you're in running and the live betting type of situation. So, how did you develop the testing technology to really evaluate those kind of systems?
Yeah, extensive training on behalf of our team. So our clients like to joke that they're going to poach our test engineers as traders here soon, since they know how to set lines and operate the systems. And that's key. When you're testing these large, complex systems like this, you have to test them in the way that they're intended to be operated. If you can break the systems, you can test them in ways that create issues that are non-existent in practical use if you don't understand those principles. And so it was a large undertaking initially to say we have to know exactly how a sportsbook operation runs to be able to test the product, which is different because we don't have that same mentality with testing a slot machine to know how a casino's run. We can test that more within a box versus having these other controls. And then we built methodology, just learned over the years, borrowing from what we learned in Europe in terms of major issues that have come up, concerns from the regulatory side, and use that as a constant feedback loop into our processes to ensure that when a product comes out of our lab, the industry can stand behind it, our clients feel comfortable standing behind it, and the regulators who accept those certifications feel comfortable launching that in their marketplace.
Sure. So the fact that a lot of these systems were in place in Europe, prior to the legalization in the U.S., did that give you a head start? So, a lot of that had already been tested?
Yeah. we saw a lot of these systems already. They had to be changed. There's different terminology and wagering offerings and the way, sports wagers are traded in the U.S. versus Europe. And so that mentality had to change. But we were already aware of that, having worked in Nevada for a number of years and just prior to PASPA. We worked on one of the first ground-up new sportsbook platforms that had been brought to market in 10-plus years. And so we were able to leverage that knowledge into supporting a much larger set of clients coming across the U.S.
Sure, sure. You know, we hear about all these sources of data that the sportsbooks have to gather. You know, a lot of them are required to use data from some of the professional leagues. How do you kind of balance those kind of things out?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's jurisdiction dependent on the level of scrutiny that we put on here. Because there are data feeds that both feed pricing as well as feeds that are just external to the sportsbook mm-hmm. where pricing is being provided for other reasons. And so we look at those APIs, how that data comes in, is manipulated and used, and then apply the jurisdictional requirements on top of those. In some cases, you have to have the ability to intercept data and pricing and manipulate that. So we ensure that those controls are in place and you're not just accepting what's coming in from another source. And then we also need to ensure that that information is translated correctly so that the wrong offer isn't, presented to a player. And that can be really sensitive when you talk about in-play wagering.
Sure, right. Yep. Wager. Yeah, I've experienced that a few times myself when I'm trying to bet and something happens on the field and things change very quickly. And I guess that's for that to happen, you have to be processing that data very quickly.
Yes, absolutely. And we have whole systems and processes that our teams use to be able to manage that with testing and hit a number of edge cases and ensure the products are really built
sure.
With a lot of stability in them before they go to market.
Right.
Resort Wallet from IGT provides a digital wallet for all your players' gaming and retail needs. From card or cardless-based cashless transactions, your players will love the convenience of getting rid of cash and all the hassles associated with using cash. And with IGT Pay, IGT's exclusive payment gateway, your players can fund their cashless wagering accounts from multiple external sources simultaneously. The benefits of cashless gaming are amazing. No more waiting in lines at ATMs to get cash, no more waiting in lines to redeem your tickets, and no more waiting for service when your ticket printer jams. Learn more about IGT's Resort Wallet at igt.com/cashless. And now back to our podcast.
So you mentioned all the different jurisdictions that are legalizing sports betting now, and a lot of them have different rules and regs. How do you stay up to speed on what the regs are in all these new states, especially as they're coming on so quickly these days?
Right. Well, not a lot of sleep, so that's one way.
Right.
But we have sophisticated systems internally, and I'll talk about that in just a second, and a dedicated compliance team. Mm-hmm. So we've got a team that does nothing else but speak to regulators, and we're usually talking with them even as bills are working through the legislature.
Right.
They're asking us, what are the regulatory models out there? We're giving them presentations on mm-hmm. Different type of products, different concerns, and helping them build those regulations before the industry even gets to see them for the first time. And then as it goes through the process of the draft and comment and final, we're pulling those into our systems. And so the personnel are needed on the front end to understand exactly where regulators are at, how they're developing their technical requirements. And many adopt the GLI 33 technical standard, which is the most widely adopted sports standard in the U.S., and so that provides a grounding there. And then we seed a system that we call Evolution. It's a test case system that's specifically designed to identify like-by-like requirements in markets, put test cases across them, and when we certify a product, we can say that we've tested it for 5 states, and the same requirement comes in for a 6th state. We have those results on hand. We don't readdress that. We really look at the market differences.
Sure.
This helps us support our clients to really understand what's unique as they enter each market and reduce time to market so they can get live as soon as those markets
sure, open. Sure, sure. So we've seen some new platform providers, systems providers coming into the market quickly. Do they actually use that GLI 33 certification to build their systems, or do they come in and then have to adjust their systems to the 33?
Most use that as a starting point. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of clients coming in from Europe or new clients who just started saying, we're not sure what our first state is. We want to start with GLI 33.
Right.
Let's make sure that we have a foundation in place, and then we can jump off of that as we gain partnerships and, you know, licenses in different states and start moving forward.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's a very common jumping point for the industry.
Great. So, you know, we've just seen Michigan go live and Virginia go live in the last week here. And we've got a whole list of states that are considering new bills and things of that nature. What states do you think are going to be next in line?
Yeah, three that come right off the top of my head are Maryland, Louisiana, and South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Legislation's passed there. Regulatory bodies are actively working. We're in conversations with all three to help them get to the point of launching their marketplaces. So definitely those three. Likely, given where legislation's at right now, you're not going to see much more than that. Maybe one to two, they really move quickly. Mm-hmm. But you could also see an expansion, like in New York, which has been widely publicized, where you go from a retail offering to now offering an online solution. And so there's a lot of potential for that in many of the markets that put their toe in the water with retail first.
Right. And we're also seeing a lot of states consider iGaming. Now that they've legalized sports betting, iGaming is the next thing that comes along there. Michigan did it at the same time, but other states are starting to revisit this. Is this something that you're involved with as well?
Yeah, absolutely. My team does both. Mm-hmm. And so we're and most of our partners have their foot in one way or another. So it's something that you kind of have to support universally. But yeah, we do see that as an expansion point for the industry.
I think
sports wagering is a way to start at a smaller level, understand that you can offer this product in a well-regulated way, that you can put in responsible gaming controls that really provide a lot of powerful tools to negate some of the concerns about offering this in an online space. And once you get beyond those hurdles, then the next thought, you know, that comes to mind pretty naturally is, what other products can we offer, casino being one of them?
Sure, absolutely.
And GLI 33, are you using the same standard for iGaming in the casino side as you do for land-based casino, or how does that differ at all?
We have another technical standard for interactive online casino called GLI 19. It's been out there for a while, adopted in Canada prior to U.S. adoption. Michigan's adopted it. West Virginia's adopted it. Delaware has adopted it. And so it's a standard that's proliferating. GLI 19 was written with GLI 33 so that the requirements are like for like in all areas where the platform would be the same, and only deviate in the areas, you know, covering games or sports wagering and very specific details. So we're providing a model for the industry to add one and, you know, start with one and add the other and have the same set of controls in place. And actually, if you look at two states that have both right now in West Virginia and Michigan, they've adopted both GLI 33 and GLI 19, and they govern the two different areas of online offerings.
Are they similar to as far as RTP and things like that to the casino slot standard?
Yeah, very similar, but expand on other concepts. So we've got to make sure that we're covering peer-to-peer concepts like poker, bingo, and different offerings that you can have on the iGaming side that you wouldn't see just in a slot machine.
So there's some iGaming states that have compacts between each other so that they can share poker players. I know Nevada and New Jersey and Delaware have signed a compact that shares players. But I'm a little confused about, you know, how you would test systems that, you know, where the player is located in a different state than where the taxes go to, for example.
Yeah, it's complex. So without getting too far into the details, because there's only so much I can disclose about the products. You do have to heavily rely on geolocation to understand where players are at, and then complex mathematical models to identify the revenue that's generated by those players and separate that revenue into the states that that they're playing in, and so the taxes can be, you know, provided accordingly. And then from a supplier side, it becomes sophisticated. You have to design a product that meets compliance in each state, and they can have different technical requirements. That's a burden for them to come into, but that's something that we, like to say is our aid to the industry to be able to remove that complexity, sure. Be able to tell them, here's what's different. Here's how you, you get into it, this type of model.
So geolocation is really important, obviously, for the state borders. I mean, we understand how complex that can be. You mentioned Louisiana. Louisiana, they just went through an election process, referendum process, where some of the parishes, the counties in Louisiana, rejected sports betting. So you're going to have to carve them out when it comes to geolocation. That must be really complex.
It is complex. And that's going to be one of the more difficult states to take an approach to, mm-hmm. But we've seen things like this in DC right now. Federal property has to be geolocated out.
Right.
When we look at Illinois, they have special tax rates for counties that have a certain population, basically Cook County. So we look at geolocation testing, not just for the state border, but for these other considerations. So we're going to bring in the concepts that we apply there into Louisiana, and I think we should be able to handle it without problem.
So where do you see the GLI, digital world going right now? I mean, you guys seem to jump right on this. I mean, there was a lot of competitors out there that were kind of already in that field. But when you picked up Salim Adisha's company early on really, really put a lot of effort into this. And now, you're as dominant in the interactive field as you were in the land-based casino field. How does that feel to having gone through that process and to really have established yourself as a leader there as well?
Yeah, it's been a journey because I've worked with Salim going back years,
sure.
And regularly travel up to the Vancouver office that was a part of that acquisition. Worked since day one with our former NMI team that came through another acquisition. And what we were able to do is take the concepts from GLI, from TST, from NMI, and just build on them, integrate them into a best of breed model. Continue to grow with our focus on our clients. Our drive is to ensure that we have the proper testing procedures in place to give them high degree of confidence that they are compliant in every market that they move into, that we use sophisticated methods to drive down the time to come to that conclusion, and that we're open and transparent in communication in the way that we work with them. And every single bit of movement that we've had in this area over the years has built what is today, and so it's been a learning process, but it's amazing to see where we've even come year after year. So it's hard for me to project out next year because I couldn't even tell you sitting here last year that we would have had the growth that we saw and the experiences that came about this year.
Sure. So, GLI, your clients are one thing, but you also have to serve the regulators. They change so often, and then most of the time when they come in, they really don't have any gaming experience. So you're kind of teaching them from square one, and you do these roundtables throughout the year that do a great job at teaching them. But this stuff you were talking about here is so complex. How do you get that across to them, in terms that they can understand?
Yeah, absolutely. So we just have a lot of experience with working with regulators with varying levels of their own experience coming in. So we know how to present the material to start at a conceptual level, to start at the guidepost, and then to slowly break that down. And we go through numerous sessions with regulators, pretty much at their discretion, to get to a point where they feel comfortable, and then continually offer sessions and retrainings as new individuals are added to those agencies, as those agencies grow with the expansion of gaming. And it's important. It's something that, we feel obviously very strongly about, but those in industry, my clients that I work with are, continually talk to me about how happy they are that we're out there doing this, that we're mm-hmm. Helping the industry be well informed in these areas. because it makes their job in terms of, you know, presenting their products that much easier.
Sure, sure. So, you know, sports betting, I keep hearing people say, is in its infancy here in the U.S. And that the apps we see now are going to be outdated, you know, within 6 months. What are some of the things on the horizon here that are going to come out that are going to pretty much amaze everybody? I don't want to ask you to give up any secrets of your clients, but are there things out there that are going to blow some of the customers away when they see it?
Yeah, we see those concepts coming. Mm-hmm. And so while I can't talk about them specifically, I can kind of talk about the areas that they're in. Mm-hmm. You know, the first area in you know, looking back at history is an important thing. And to use that as an example is ensuring that you have a product offering that's really attainable to the average user. So when poker exploded across Europe and really across the world and just gained a lot of popularity, these sites and poker sites, their client base exploded. But quickly, they had to deal with issues like sharks preying on the average user.
Right.
So they came up with innovative concepts like fast fold poker. It's got a lot of different names, but this is where you sit at a table. As soon as you fold, you move to a different table randomly, and a player can't watch you as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
And so it evens the playing field for the average user. So you're going to see a lot of innovation in that area to build out concepts, build out products for different demographics, and really, you know, innovate in that area. I think you're going to see a lot of innovation too in customer acquisition. How do you get a customer to the site to register and make the deposit? There are statistics on, you know, the drop off at each one of those phases.
So right.
Building confidence, making ease in that process, leveraging technology that exists on our devices today, and in other areas to really make that process clean. And then I think you're going to see just new concepts. I know we're going to see new concepts that come out in terms of the types of games and products that are offered.
Mm-hmm.
To really expand on these. It, like you said, it's in its infancy right now. And so there's a core set, and everybody's going to look for that edge. And as you see companies really spend R&D in those areas, the concepts are going to come.
Great, great. Well, Joe, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. You know, we've talked to a lot of the professionals at GLI, and you all do a great job in your specific fields. But you're in one of the real cutting edge fields now, and we appreciate you taking the time to really convey that to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, and again, I appreciate the offer.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by IGT. Your players will experience the convenience of digital transaction throughout your resort property with IGT's resort wallet. Learn more at igt.com/cashless. To learn more about the technology testing in the gaming industry, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.